Welcome to another episode of Brian's Spain Domain, and today we are going to look at a photograph. That's it, okay? It's the picture that is accompanying this podcast. If we are looking at what must be the first photograph of a terrorist attack in action, in process. And I would dare to say that up until recently, it was probably one of the only ones. Now everyone has their smartphone with a million cameras, and anything that happens in the world is almost inevitably being filmed by someone. Anyway, back then that would have been a very rare moment, and this is certainly an extraordinary moment considering the circumstances. It was taken on May 31st, 1906, when King Alfonso XIII and his bride, Victoria Eugenia of Battenberg, who was Queen Victoria's granddaughter, and they were in their royal carriage making their way back from the church where they had gotten married. That church is called Los Jerónimos, and it looks out over the Prado Museum. You can still visit it today. And they made their way back to the royal palace on what would have been basically the other side of Madrid. Now, this act took place, this violent act took place, as they were coming to the end of the Calle Mayor. And it was committed by a Catalan anarchist named Mateo Morral. Morral, as I just told you, was born in Catalonia. He was from a well-to-do family, but his political ideas clashed with his father's. So his father sort of sent him packing, and the young man moved to Barcelona, where he met a man named Francisco Ferrer. He was an anarchist, and he had a sort of a very modern school. In fact, he called it the modern school, and he gave Morral a chance to work in the school's library. Morral fell in love with one of the teachers there, who I believe also was having a romantic relationship with Francisco Ferrer. She turned Morral down, and this unrequited love frustrated the young man. And it basically spurred him to take on radical action, to do something sort of big and drastic. Not unlike, if you recall, David Hinckley would do 75 years later to John Lennon in New York City. It was sort of motivated by similar reasons. So Morral left for Madrid, and he mingled among the intelligentsia of that time, writers, journalists, philosophers, and activists, political activists. And eventually he decided to perpetrate this act, and he decided it would be on the wedding day. The explosives came to him about 10 days before the attack. Then he took a room at a hotel in this building I was telling you about. The number was 88 Calle Mayor. Today it is 84. He paid in advance, and he asked for a room with a view of the street. And they gave him one on the fourth floor. By the way, on the ground floor of this building, there was a tavern called Casa Siriaco, or Siriaco, and it's still there today. It specializes in Madrid cuisine, and so it's a recommendable place to go if you want to try classic local cuisine and also be in one of the oldest taverns in Madrid. Now, the Spanish authorities were onto something here. They knew that that some sort of terrorist attack or assassination threat existed. The event was high profile. It was outdoors, out in the public. It involved the monarchy. In other words, it was everything an anarchist would want to try to commit a crime like this. And as I was telling you before, the wedding ceremony was celebrated at that church in the morning, or in the morning hours, the way they were done traditionally. And the bride and groom departed from the church environs, and which for some reason was where most of the security measures were strongest. After that, they relaxed quite a bit. I guess they figured that's if something was going to happen, it was going to happen there. I don't really understand why. We now realize that these things can happen anywhere. Anyway, when they passed the hotel that Morao was staying in, he was up there in the balcony on the fourth floor, one of the thousands of people in the streets who were there to watch the royal couple go by, and it was there that he dropped a bouquet of flowers with a bomb inside, and it sailed downwards toward the intended target. But it seems as if this artifact was deflected when it bounced off an awning or maybe some cables from the cable car, and that was enough to send it away from the king and queen, so they survived the attack. But unfortunately, at least 24 bystanders were killed and over 100 wounded. It must have been a horrific situation there. The newspaper ABC, which still exists today, it has always been a strong pro-monarchy newspaper, was covering the story. And they would give details, like, for example, that a 16-year-old girl was seen on the ground with her legs destroyed. The scene was described as basically being warlike. Now, speaking of ABC, because they play an important role in our story today, its editor was a man named Torquato Luca de Tena. And he had sent out a platoon of reporters to different locations to follow the celebration at different points, and that included photographers too. In addition to that, the newspaper had been advertising in the weeks leading up to the wedding that it would pay 10 pesetas for every image it published from an independent contributor. So when the bomb went off and people began to gather their bearings, the picture takers and the photographers for the newspaper raced off to the newspaper office to develop their film and hope that they captured something historic. But unfortunately, it seems as if that was not the case. With the equipment they had at the time and the suddenness of the attack, only amazing luck would have produced an exclusive shot. But one did exist, however, and not from someone from his team, but rather a 17-year-old medical student who claimed to be the grandson of the famous Madrid writer and chronicler from many decades before, named Ramón Mesonero Romanos. The young man was named Eugenio, and he explained that he used the camera that his father had given to him and had just one picture left, and he wanted to wait for when the royal carriage was going by. So he took the picture just as the explosion or just as the bomb was dropped, and he wasn't sure if it was taken before or after the explosion. So the film was taken to some lab, it was developed, and the result was what you see today, a snapshot of literally seconds after the bomb went off. I mean, you can see the smoke is still spreading. You can see the carriage is just beginning to race off. The horses are freaking out, but we know from the story that it's just seconds after that moment, because all the horses are there. One of them, very briefly after that moment, would collapse and the driver would be thrown off, I believe. So it's an amazing picture in this sense. And Luca de Tena was so impressed, was so excited, because he knew that he had the picture in his hand. And no one else had it. He gave Eugenio, or Eugene, as you would say in English, 300 pesetas for that picture, which was a very, very handsome sum. Anyway, I still view this as one of the most extraordinary moments in graphic journalism, even though it was taken by an amateur and came as a result of near sheer luck. All the same, it should be up there on the list as one of the most important pictures in history. Morale, the man who dropped the bomb, escaped briefly, but then he was identified in the town of Torrejón, just to the east of Madrid. He was trying to pass himself off as a worker, an everyday laborer, but his Catalan accent and his soft hands gave him away to locals. So they contacted the authorities, and then one person came and tried to arrest him. He shot and killed that person, and then shot himself. So anyway, there you have it, a little story behind this photograph and also behind how the newspaper got hold of it, and also how it became possibly the first exclusive in the history of Spanish journalism. And that'll be all for our podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us with any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very, very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.